despite the adversity you and I may face, may we never give up.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. With today's eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die culture and the non-stop can't lose ads from the gambling industry, being part of the background noise on the TV, Pastor Brian Grant's message this evening draws five principles from God's Word, the Bible, that show how one can avoid the traps of the devil and build wealth that can escape the despair of transgenerational family poverty and create wealth that will never disappoint. Here now is Pastor Grant for the first part of Building Generational Wealth God's Way.
Every February, America celebrates Black History Month, the origins of which dates all the way back to 1915, when Dr. Carter Woodson founded the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History. Carter Woodson was the son of freed slaves. He was born in 1875, but since he had to work in the coal mines of West Virginia, his schooling was delayed. But Carter Woodson was determined to get an education. Let's remember when he was born, the era in which he was born. And so despite the significant challenges he faced, in 1902, at the age of 27, he earned a bachelor's degree from Berea College. He started teaching, but he continued to pursue further education. I hope everyone is listening, particularly those of you who come from the history that I have come from, where we were born as slaves from Africa. Our foreparents were born. You know, the slavery, sometimes we think it only happened in America. You may be surprised to know there were more African slaves in the Caribbean, in the West Indies, than there were in America, believe it or not. And of course, there were even more in Brazil. In fact, some of the harshest slavery was in Brazil. And slavery didn't end in Brazil till it long after it ended here. Of course, we have some Brazilians in the house. They can give you a little more detail on that. But listen, Carter Woodson, having gotten a bachelor's degree, despite all the challenges he faced, he was determined to continue his education because he knew that with God's help, he could achieve great things. Amen? And 9 years later, at the age of 36, Dr. Carter Woodson earned his PhD. And guess from where he earned his PhD? From none other than Harvard University. One of the most difficult, the most prominent, and prestigious universities in America. He became only the second Black person to receive a PhD from Harvard University. Despite all the adversity he faced, he was convinced that with God's help, he could achieve great things. Amen? Amen. And my friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, listen, this is a special morning, and I'm glad we take some time to focus on this, because despite the adversity you and I may face, may we never give up, for we serve a great, big, wonderful God who can empower us to do great things. So young people, don't fall into the trap others have fallen into, where they make excuses for the color of our skin. Yes, there may be disadvantages and there are pressures against us, but we serve a God who can do the impossible. Amen. Here's something I want you to add to your notes. I want you to add to your notes this quote from Job chapter 5, verse 9. We're going to put it on the screen. God does great things too marvelous to understand, and performs miracles without number. Amen. Do you believe that? Our God does great things, too marvelous to understand, and performs miracles without number. Our God is awesome. Do you know him? 100 years ago, in February 1926, Dr. Woodson started what he called Negro History Week. He selected February because it included the birthdays of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass, two very significant figures in the history of black Americans. 60 years later, Congress passed a law designating February as National Black History Month. And in February 1986, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation formally designating February as National Black History Month. In his proclamation, President Reagan said that Black History Month was a time for all Americans to celebrate the many achievements of African Americans in every field, from science and the arts to politics and religion. It's a time for all Americans. Let's not regard this as a time just for a few. President Reagan said, it's a time for all Americans. And so we take pleasure this morning in celebrating this important month. As a black American, I'm thankful to God for bringing us thus far on the way. But my friends, we still have a very far way to go. But listen to me. Are you paying attention? Young people, are you listening? The most recent statistics I found on wealth in America stated at the end of 2022, this most recent statistics I could find, it said that wealth in America, the median household wealth for black families was $44,100. Now, before you get excited, the median household is the household in the middle. So the median wealth for black families is $44,100. Here's what it means. It means that 50% of all black families have total household wealth. That's their bank accounts. That's any home equity loans they have. That's the value of their automobile. That's the value of any retirement plan they have. When you add all of what we have, it only totals $44,100. 50% of us, that's all we have. Everything added together. You said, Brother Brian, how does that compare? And the same report told us that the median household wealth of white families was not $84,000. It was $284,000. That's almost seven times. And guess if the median household wealth of Asian families was $536,000. 44 versus 536. Listen, I know some people are going to quickly say the problem is that the playing field in America is not level. And that's true. But despite the fact that the playing field is not level, we would be much further ahead if we paid more attention to God's word. And so this morning, I am going to deliver what some may regard as an unusual church sermon, but everything is coming right from this Bible because God's word has the answers. And so this morning, I want to share with you a very non-traditional sermon as I give you some principles about building generational wealth God's ways. And it's all from the Bible. If we are determined to be Bible Christians, then we must manage our money Bible way too. Amen? Amen. So here's the first thing to add to your notes. Are you ready? Yes. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. Young people, take notes too, you know. You got your bulletin? Take your notes. Because I want you to come and ask me more questions. You know, I'm available. You guys know I'm not one of the pastors who I run. You know, I've been to churches where the pastor's finished preaching, they stop all the traffic, and the pastor jumps into his. You didn't know that? Cheryl and I were shocked. We were at this church. The church, they let him through a side door. He jumped into his chauffeur-driven car. Even the police stopped all the traffic on the highway. And the pastor went, zoom, okay? Hallelujah. He beat all the rush. You and I'll talk to you. So come and let's talk, amen? Let's dialogue together. By the way, for those who might not know, I have a master's degree in financial services. I'm a certified financial planner. So I'm going to give you some, not just the Bible, but some practical illustrations as well. And for those of you, when we're finished, you're saying, boy, I wish we could have a seminar. We're not going to announce a seminar, but we'll say, if you want to have a seminar, register with the church office and tell them, I would like a seminar. If you're online and you want to be a part of this, we will have a seminar that you can also participate by Zoom. But hey, we are willing to share everything we can to change this. Amen. Amen. We have got to change it. All right, let me calm down. Okay. Did I give you the first point yet? Here it is. We must anchor our trust in God and honor him with all our resources. If you're one of those stingy Christians, just remember that before you come and say, God, bless me, we must anchor our trust in God and what? Honor him with all our resources. Let me put on the screen Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the what? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, write this down. God has promised that when we honor him with the best of our resources, instead of having less, we will have more. Guess why? Because the Almighty God will bless us. Amen? Listen, what I don't want you to do is to treat giving to God as a business transaction. For if we're giving to God hoping he will double what we give, we're not really giving from a sincere heart. Some of you, I told this story before, but several years ago when I was GCA's treasurer, a man sent us a check for $100. And he asked, I'm not making this up, he asked that we would pray for God's tenfold blessing. You'd heard about the tenfold blessing. So he said he's sending 100 and he's asking us to pray that he'd get back $1,000. So what do you think I did? I sent him back his check. I sent him back his check. For although God has promised to bless those who honor him with their resources, our motive for giving to God should never be to get, amen? But we're giving to honor him for who he is and for what he has done for us, amen? Amen. But give generously. Don't give God a tip. Sometimes, you know, I've been to places, I won't say GCI, I've been to places, and when the offering bag is passed, people are shuffling through their pocket to find out if they can find a dollar bill in there, so they don't have to drop, they don't want to drop a coin, but if they could just find that holy dollar bill. Let us make sure we are giving to God generously, because God is no man's debtor, amen? He cannot lie, and he promises if we honor him with our resources, he will bless us. Trust him. You know, as a teenager, I was very challenged by the true story of Mr. L.G. Letourneau, a self-educated mechanic who started his own engineering company. He was not a college man. God had given him insight. In fact, one of our young men, he's not here. I don't think I see him here today, but I guess he's in the back. But listen, one of our young men actually went to engineering school at one of the colleges. He gave all the money to start. God gave this man insight on building heavy equipment. And most of the big earth-moving projects during the 1920s and 30s all used his equipment. Anybody ever been to the Hoover Dam? That was all L.G. Letourneau's equipment. You talk about building the Boulder Highway, all L.G. Letourneau equipment. By the blessing of God, this self-educated mechanic supplied 70% of all the heavy equipment for all Allied forces in World War II. You hear what I'm saying? All Allied forces, 70% of all the heavy equipment used was by this untrained, no university training, but God gave him the wisdom he needed. And I tell you, as a teenager, I read his story as a teenager, and I was so challenged because Mr. Letourneau had turned the tithing model upside down. So where some Christians struggle to give 10%, Mr. Letourneau decided he would keep 10 and give God 90. The more he did that, the more God just kept blessing him. Mr. Letourneau's 10%, he was a multimillionaire on the 10% that he came. We can trust God with our resources. Are you a stingy giver or a joyful giver? Do you delight in giving to God? I pray that today that the Spirit of God will so work in our hearts that we will realize that we should and can trust God, and that we will seek to honor him with our resources, that the work of God may be well supplied. Amen? But here's the second thing I want to bring to your attention. Put this to your notes. We must pursue work, not welfare. It's wonderful that America has a welfare system that's designed to help those in need. But sadly, some people are taking advantage of the system. And although they are capable of working, they have chosen to find ways to remain on welfare. In fact, as I did some research for this message, I was shocked to discover that it is estimated that 30% of all welfare recipients in the United States are able to work. 30% who are receiving it can work. To be frank, you walk through some of the neighborhoods and you see all these able-bodied guys. We will never move forward if able-bodied young men are satisfied with making a living on welfare. So write this in your notes. Can we talk? You don't mind if I talk straight? Is it all right with you? You may as well say yes, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. Put this down. If you are physically able to work and are satisfied receiving welfare, you are hurting yourself. You're hurting your future generations because you have nothing to leave to them. The one thing the welfare person is going to make sure, you don't accumulate no wealth. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting all your future generations. But here's the biggest thing. You are living in disobedience to God. A Christian who can work and is collecting welfare and is not trying to get a job is a disobedient Christian. Make no mistake about it. You say, Pastor, are you sure about this? Are you making that up? No, turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 to 12, I'm going to read. But we command you, the Apostle Paul says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, here's what Paul is telling the church, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge. but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. So the Apostle Paul is telling you that despite his significant responsibilities to spread the gospel, he was working night and day that we might not be a burden. Not because we do not have authority, but we wanted to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. Come on now. What does it say? Read it out. If what? If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such command and exhort to our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. My brother, if you are capable of working, you need to find a J-O-B. Because Paul clearly states, if anyone will not work, neither should they eat. And so my brother and sister, if you haven't been looking for work, don't waste any more time. Take immediate steps to find a job so you can get out of the trap you're currently in. You may not realize it. You are in a trap. Get out the trap. Get a job. And if you're serious, come, let's have a prayer meeting about helping you. And let all of us, by the way, those of you who know about jobs, let me throw a practical thing here. All those of you who work and those who are listening to me and know about jobs that are out there, send us the information to the church office. Let us know what jobs are available so we can announce them. We can put it in the pastor's weekly letter. We can have a whole employment opportunity section in there so we can all get a J-O-B. Hallelujah. When you go home, read Proverbs 13, 11, 14, 23 on your own. But for sake of time, I'm going to pass. Here's the third thing I want you to put down in your notes. We must thoughtfully practice budgeting.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.